Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 20, 2018, Ardis Shebat 4, 2021. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled, Bringing in the Sheaves. So within the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the evening, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow, hearing neither frost nor winter's chilling breeze, crying by the harvest, and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss is gained, our spirit often grieves. When our waiting's over, He will bid us welcome, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Man on the White Horse, Part 1, by Ben Roden, 1965. This has become very present truth again, folks. We will have a lot of new light breaking out of this study this time. And so now let us start with Ezekiel 37:19. It says, "Say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua Messiah, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is your 10 tribes, Samaria, which is in the hand of Ephraim," and Ephraim, you know, is Joseph's second-born son down in Egypt. He was adopted into the 12 tribes of Israel by their grandfather Jacob, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows. And will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah. Now Judah has a stick, and Ephraim has a stick. Judah represents the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Ephraim with a stick represents the 10 tribes in the north. "And make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand." Now, this is a study that's got to happen, it's got to take place. And that's what all of the world preparations is for right now. This is what Yahweh is preparing to bring this about, cause this to happen. Now, in Zechariah 9:13, it talks about the same thing. In Zechariah 9:13, "When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, See, bent Judah, the two tribes, which is the house of David, the lawgiver. This is where the scepter is at. Scepter represents the shepherd rod, authority for Yahweh's government. The tribe of Judah is the one in charge of Yahweh's government and in charge of the 12 tribes of Israel. So it says here in Zechariah 9:13, when I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as a sword of a mighty man. Now he's going to take this house of David that we represent the leadership of right here, and he's going to bend it, and he's going to fill the bow with Ephraim, the 10 tribes, and raise up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, Greece the Gentiles, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. Huh? Now I have a cross reference here of Jeremiah 51:20. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee, let's back up a little bit. Jeremiah 51:19, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The portion of the Yahshua of the host is his name. And thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. This is Yahshua of host talking. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. With thee will I break in the pieces chariot and his rider. And he goes on mentioning all these different ones and things that he's going to break in pieces with this kingdom. And then he says right down there in verse 24, he says, and I will render unto Babylon, unto all the inhabitants of Chaldea, all their evil that they have done in Zion, in your sight, saith Yahshua. Now, we have one more scripture, Revelation 6:2. Now, all of this information dovetails right down here into Revelation 6:2. It says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, Ben Roden is the author of this tract. He has a picture of this white horse on the front of it, with a man sitting on the white horse with a crown on. He's a king. And he's got a bow and arrow that he's got drawn in his hand. And so it says that in Revelation 6, he says, and so Ben Roden says, now, I'm this man on the white horse. Well, we know the scriptures is telling us that this is Yahshua, the man on the white horse. The prophecy's telling us that. But somehow, if there's a man on a white horse today, he would be antitypical David after he becomes sanctified, purified, and made white. Let us now go and read page one of this little tract, The Man on the White Horse, and it's called Joining the Two Sticks by Benjamin Roden. It says, the two houses of Israel, joining the two sticks, the two houses of Israel. September 22nd, 1965. Now, folks, that's a long time ago. That's well over 50 years ago. Jim thought, the disciples of the Yahshua were looking for the immediate coming of the kingdom of his glory. But in giving them this prayer, Yahshua taught that the kingdom was not then to be established. They were to pray for his coming as an event yet future. But this petition was also an assurance unto them. how they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day, the fact that Yahshua bade them pray for it is evidence that Yahweh, and Yahweh's own time, it will surely come. And that's taken from Mount of Blessing by Ellen G. White, page 107 and 108. Okay, the aim now of our study is found in Ezekiel 37:15-28, and includes supporting Bible texts and statements from other inspired writers. The purpose of this study is to disclose unto the view of the Yahweh's true Israel and his loud cry church combined with the fulfillment of his promise unto Abraham to give his seed of the land of Palestine. Read Genesis 12:1-4, Hebrews 11:8-10, and Acts 6:1-5. So now we'll turn to Ezekiel 37 and we'll read 15-28. Okay, Ezekiel 37, start with verse 15. The word of Yeshua came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write up on it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of that people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua Messiah, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith Yeshua Messiah, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. Who are the heathen? They're your Babylonians. They're the ones that Judah went into captivity for 70 years under. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, which were nothing but heathen. They had to go into captivity in their land and get them out of the land of Israel and out of the land of Judah because they had defiled it by their whoredoms. They had made the land unclean. Yahshua had to purge them all out of the land to purify the land. And I will give them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king unto them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable thing, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David, verse 24, my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. There shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahshua, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So that ends that reading. Now let us go back to our track, Man on the White Horse. Destruction of Gog and blessing to Israel. Gog is to use the nation of Gog as an example of his wrath of the destruction unto the heathen nations who are not converted, and his protecting care for his people Israel. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, and I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Ezekiel 38:16. After many days I shall be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Ezekiel 38:8. Yes, I'll read that. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and be gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always raised, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Israel and land like Eden. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desert and the ruined cities are become fenced and inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about ye shall know that I, the Yahshua, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahshua, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus saith Yahshua Messiah, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:35-37. For the prophet Jeremiah says, in the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Jeremiah 23:20. Isaiah says it is the last days, Isaiah 2:2-4, and Micah says the same in Micah 4:1-8. Telling of this event, Ellen G. White explains it by Moses' experience. Moses saw the chosen people established in Canaan, each of the tribes in his own possession. Patriarchs and Prophets 4:75. And now, a panoramic view of the land of promise was presented unto him. Every part of the country was spread out before him, not faint and uncertain in the dim distance, but standing out clear, distinct, and beautiful to his delighted vision. In this scene, it was presented, not as it then appeared, but as it would become, with Yahweh's blessing upon it, and the possession of Israel. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. He seemed to be looking upon a second Eden. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 472. This is shown to Moses in about 1460 B.C. This was just right before he went to heaven. This statement by Ellen G. White is in the perfect agreement with Ezekiel 36:35. Now let's read Ezekiel 36:35 again. He says, "And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and uninhabited." This says, which shows the land of Palestine has become like Eden before probation closes for the world. Well, I've got a little booklet written back in 1935. And that's been, oh my goodness, 83 years ago. And it says restoring Palestine according to prophecy. And even back then, they have pictures there showing that Israel had been restoring that land for the last 50 years. From about 1885, 1890, on to 1935. 45, 50 years, they said it'd become like a virtual Garden of Eden then. That's been 83 years ago. So you will please note that Ezekiel says that Yahshua will build up the ruined places. Verse 16, one stick, the prophecy of verses 15 to 28, is undated, but it was probably given shortly after the vision of verses 1 to 14. The two are closely related. For the divided nation of Israel were to be reunited and placed under the beneficent rule of David. And a typical David. That's who we represent. Tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. House of David. This statement by Ellen G. White is in perfect agreement with Ezekiel 36:35, which shows the land of Palestine has become like Eden before probation closes for the world. Okay, we've read that. Verse 21, whatever I'm reading here, it says, "We'll gather them for the restoration of Israel from captivity among the heathen." Was the first step in the fulfillment of the divine promises. This remnant was to consist of those who had profited from the discipline of the exile and had become spiritually pure. Since the prerequisite revival was never obtained, either before or after the return, under Zerubbabel, the fulfillment of these promises was prevented. Yahweh did for Israel all that their obdurate disobedience would allow him to do, but they remained rebellious. Therefore, eventually, he had to reject them utterly. The unfolding of the divine promise here and in the following verse applies to the picture as it would have been if Yahweh's purposes had been carried out. SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 701. For the glorious destiny that might have blessed Jerusalem had she accepted her Redeemer rose before the Son of Yahweh. He saw that she might, through him, have been healed of her grievous malady, liberated from bondage, and established as the mighty metropolis of the earth. From her walls, the dove of peace would have gone forth unto all nations. She would have been the world's diadem of glory, taken from Desire of Ages 577. Okay, it says that that which Yahweh purported to do for the world through Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his church on earth today. Prophets and Kings 7:13-14. Yahshua is coming to establish his kingdom on the earth. 9:63. Any day they give themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons come, shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verse 4 and 5. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Yashir shall burn against Zion. Isaiah 52, 8. Ezekiel 37, verse 22. One king shall be king. In verse 24, he is described as being David my servant. Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary, volume 4, page 701. Also, Ellen G. White talks about it. Verse 26. Multiply them. This would have resulted from the natural increase of the population and from the influx owing to diligent missionary activities. Let's remember that David of old reigned around 1000 B.C. This prophecy by the Ezekiel was given about 575 B.C., which is over 400 years after David's time. Yet Ezekiel declares David is to reign sometime in the future from Judah's captivity in Babylon. Since David had been in the grave for many years, Ezekiel must have been speaking of the antitypical David, who is to be king of Israel, when the Gentiles are to see her righteousness and glory in the last days, when the law shall go forth from of the Zion, and the word of the Yashir from Jerusalem, in the time of the loud cry, Micah 4:3, of the desolate land of Palestine, which will become like Eden, while the heathen nations are still left round about. Yahweh does this in order to teach the world of his ability to save and to bless his holy flock. And they shall know that I am the Yahweh. Ezekiel 36:38. To his people who have not known about this promise of the Yashir to do it for them in this life, Yashir said, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Ezekiel 36:37. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Ezekiel 37:17. For the word of the Yashir came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companion, and take another stick, and write upon it for Joseph the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companion. Ezekiel 37:15-16. Anciently, the Yashir commanded Moses to write the names of each of the 12 tribes of Israel on a rod stick and lay them up before the Yashir in the tabernacle of the witness, Numbers 17:7. Here the Yashir commands Ezekiel to write on one stick for Judah, the two tribes, our southern kingdom, and another stick for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Ezekiel 37:17. For the scriptures, the Bible students are familiar with how, shortly after the death of Solomon, the 12 tribes of Israel were divided, making two kingdoms. The sticks representing these two nations were to be joined, making one stick in Ezekiel's hand. Consequently, since the sticks were not joined in the hand of Ezekiel of old, and the captivity is in the ancient Babylon, it must be that the antitypical Ezekiel is to accomplish the task in our day. This is antithetically Ezekiel. Therefore, let us consider what the Bible has to say about the way the literal sticks are joined, which is a figure of joining the two kingdoms of Israel. Hence, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Yeshua, their king, and will hear them. Zechariah 10:6. Here is Yeshua's promise to strengthen Judah and to save Joseph, place them in their own land, and never again to cast them off. Yeshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, Zechariah 12:7. For the tents are the common people. The Spirit of prophecy declares, when this gospel shall be presented in its fullness unto the Jews, many will accept Yeshua as the Messiah. In the closing proclamation of the gospel, when the special work is to be done for classes of people hitherto neglected, Yahweh expects his messengers to take particular interest and the Jewish people, whom they find in all parts of the earth. As the Old Testament scriptures are blended with the New and an explanation of the Yahweh's eternal purpose, this will be to many of the Jews as a dawn of a new creation. For the resurrection, with the resurrection of the soul, as they see the Yeshua of the gospel dispensation portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament scriptures, and perceive how clearly the New Testament explains the Old, their slumbering faculties will be aroused, and they will recognize Yeshua as the Savior of the world. Many will by the faith receive Yeshua as their Redeemer. Among the Jews are some who, like Saul of Tarsus, are mighty in the Scriptures. And these will proclaim with the wonderful power the immutability of the law of Yahweh. The Elohim of Israel will bring this to pass in our day. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Acts the Apostles, page 380. At the time this statement was written, the gospel was not being presented in its fullness. Since the Acts of the Apostles was copyrighted in 1911, it is quite obvious that this statement must have been written sometime after 1888. Let us now present the gospel to the Jews in its fullness. The Apostle Paul states, "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by the nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out a Son, the Deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." Romans 11:24-28. Here it is shown that the Jews are to be grafted back into their own olive tree. The time has come when the Jews are to be given light. For the Yeshua wants us to encourage and sustain men who shall labor in the right lines for this people. For there are to be a multitude convinced of the truth, who will take their position for Yahweh. The time is coming when there will be as many converted in a day as they were in the day of the Pentecost, after the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. Review of the Herald, June 29, 1905. It has been a strange thing to me that there were so few who felt a burden to labor for the Jewish people. Memory will be awakened as Yahshua is seen portrayed in the pages of the Old Testament. Souls will be saved from the Jewish nation. As the doors of the New Testament are unlocked with the key of the Old Testament, Yahshua will be recognized as the Savior of the world, as it is seen how clearly the New Testament explains the Old. Many of the Jewish people will by faith perceive Yahshua as their Redeemer. Letter 47, 1903. Converted Jews in the closing word. There will be many converted from among the Jews, and these converts will aid in preparing the way of the Yahshua and making straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Converted Jews are to have an important part to act in the great preparations to be made in the future to receive Yahshua, our Prince. A nation shall be born in a day. How? By men whom Yahweh has appointed being converted to the truth. There will be seen first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn and the ear. For the predictions of the prophecy will be fulfilled. Manuscripts 75, 1905. Evangelism, page 578. 9. In the light of these statements, from the inspiration, let us continue to pursue Holy Writ for more light on the subject. Speaking of the Jews, Yahweh says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired." If Zephaniah 2, 1. The Jewish people are the one nation that is undesired by all nations. Here, the Yahshua tells them to gather together in Palestine before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you. Before the day of Yahshua's anger come upon you, seek ye the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. Zephaniah 2, 2 and 3. The Jews have become a nation in the fulfillment of Yahweh's commanding prophecy. Here we see the command is for the nation not desired to gather together before a certain decree is brought forth. They, as well as all the meek of the earth, are to seek the Yahshua. By seeking righteousness and meekness, it may be that we shall be hid in the day of Yahshua's anger. We are now better able to understand Elohim's plan to join the two sticks. Here it is plainly seen that the Jews are the first to be gathered unto their homeland and made one nation. Then the gathering of the 10 tribes will be accomplished. Thus is fulfilled the Yahshua's promise unto Abraham. Genesis 13:14. When I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man, and the Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as Aladdin, and Yahshua Messiah shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. Zechariah 9:13-14. After the stick of Judah is bent, it is then a bow. Then Ephraim, the 10 tribes, as an arrow, goes forth as lightning and the loud cry. Revelation 14:18. Revelation 18:1-4. Let the string on the stick of Judah represent the tents of Judah, or the humble Seventh-day Adventist division, and branches who pull together toward the Yeshua, and the Jews will see this victory over Satan's dividing power, and thus they will be bent toward Yahweh. This symbolism of Yahweh's elect as a bow and arrow is stronger than words can tell. John the Revelator had a vision of this work, and he explained it in the following manner in the first seal. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. Let this symbolism of a man on a white horse with a crown and with a bow in his hand represent the first man, Adam, and the bow in his hand with which to conquer represent Eve in the Garden of Eden. Here is a symbol of the pure church before sin entered. On the other hand, let this same symbolism of the last man, Adam, Yahshua, 1 Corinthians 15:22-45, on a white horse with a crown and a bow in his hand, represent the Yahshua's pure church, white denoting purity, restored to this land that is will soon become like the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel 36:35. Read to the seven churches, tract 1539-40 by V.T. Hutter. This symbolism represents Yahweh's true church, true pure church in the time of the judgment of the living in the world. The time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. However, the judgment for the living must first take place in Yahweh's church, SDA, to make her pure. See, it says the judgment of the living. Well, the judgment of the living didn't start until 2010. Alright, now let's back up a minute on that. 1970, Brother Johnson announced the judgment of the living. And he had the creation calendar, we were back on true time, had the sanctuary system completely restored, and so everything was sevens. So that right there, actually started the judgment of the living in the Adventist Church, 1970. So the Adventist Church went through the judgment of the living personally with Brother Johnson at the helm for 33 years. Right. But the church didn't become purified. So Brother Johnson, Gilead Center didn't become purified. Had Gilead Center become purified, that would represent the purification of the nucleus of the Adventist Church. But since that didn't happen, but yet Ben Roden says here that the judgment of the living must first take place in Yahweh's church, SDA, to make her pure. Well, The only thing in, to is left is 144,000. And when they come forth, they definitely come out of the Adventist Church, and they definitely are a pure people. So this is the only thing Ben Roden could have been talking about back in 1965. The tares in her midst must be bundled, and the wheat put into the barn. And that means Yahweh's kingdom, Matthew 13:30. That part of the investigated judgment of the living, by which is determined who are to have their sins blotted out, and as a result be given eternal life, is parallel on earth by the work of the angel with the writer's ink card. That would be Ezekiel 9, who is charged to mark seal everyone who sighs and cries for all the abominations in Judah and Israel, the church. And the work of the five others who follow on to slay all who have not the mark seal is parallel in the heaven by the blotting out of the sinner's names from the book of life. That would be found in 2 Answer Book 41. Purification of the church. Okay, this is where we're at now. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true Christians. But this is not the case. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But the days of purification of the church are hastening on apace. Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. Okay, we're on page 11 now, Man on the White Horse. Seems to soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. 5T80. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of the penitent believers have been removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of the purification of the putting away of sin among Yahweh's people upon earth. This work is more clearly presented in the messages of the Revelation 14, Great Controversy 425. Clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the church is to enter upon her final conflict, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings 7:25. And the Yahshua shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning, and the Yahshua and the Yahweh Elohim shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south, Zechariah 9:14. These words of inspiration tell the most wonderful story ever spoken by the human lips. The story of Yahweh's pure church soon to be disclosed to view. Therefore, brother, sister, and young people, let this mind be in you which is also in Yahshua Messiah, Philippians 2:5, that your hearts and minds may be purified with the most wonderful promises ever beheld. There is nothing here to lose and everything to be gained. And when the children of that people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou leanest by thee? Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Ezekiel 37:18-20. For the two sticks are joined and are as one stick in Ezekiel's hand, in the plain sight before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the brethren, the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Ezekiel 37:21-22. For the meaning of this symbolism is that the Yahweh will gather the 12 tribes of Israel from among the heathen nations and will bring them into their own land. They are, in that day, to be no longer two divided and scattered nations among the wicked nations, but rather are to be one nation, and one king is to rule over them. One king, and that would be antithetical David. So, some may contend this scripture was fulfilled at the gathering of the Jews from the ancient Babylon. However, the scripture says, There shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Surely anyone can see this prophecy has not been fulfilled. Therefore the Yeshua counsels, Turn, O backsliding children, saith Yeshua, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3:14-15. In that day, Elohim's ministers will be appointed by inspiration from the Yeshua and not by a council or a committee of uninspired men. Here also we see the Yeshua is married to his ministry. Therefore, since the church is married to him, she is to be called by his name. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yeshua shall name, which the Isaiah 62:2. For the name is a new one unto the Gentiles, which is in harmony with a righteous and holy people who are married to a holy Yahweh. They are no longer to be called by the familiar name Christian or the present name of the SDA Church, but rather by a new name. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of the righteous to grow up under David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Yeshua, or righteousness. Jeremiah 33:15-16. Okay. For the branch of righteousness grows up under David, and she, the branch church, is called the Yeshua or righteousness. Okay. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgression. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Ezekiel 37:23. After the restoration of Yahweh's people and back to their homeland, they are cleansed from their idols and detestable things wherein they have sinned among the heathen. Therefore, the Lodge Cry Church, Revelation 14:18, 18:1-4, is a pure, holy church without one sinner in their midst. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:24-25. Yahweh's servant David is king over his people. This branch is raised up under David the king, Jeremiah 23:5. They are led by one shepherd in the land, Yahshua gave unto Jacob. His servant David is a prince over his people forever. Here is an organization after Elohim's own appointment, having Elohim's leader and an under-leader, the branch, and David. Okay, this brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Let us close now with a song. Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing. Wonderful words of love. Words of love and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love. That's what the Blessed One gives to all. Wonderful words of love. Sinners to the loving child. Wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Yahshua, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love.